The voice of the Blue Jackets joins us now. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How are you, my man?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on, Jason.
Jeff, you know what? I spoke to Milan Lucic today, and you were talking about Columbus, and I'm like, yeah, like the first place Columbus Blue Jackets, a dominant team, and they've never really had that moniker accompanying them right now, but they're legit. Like, they are 8-0-1 against teams who are top 10 in the NHL standings right now, so it's not like they've lucked out with an easy schedule. They've beaten good teams. Jeff, you've called games, you've watched this team for a long time. Why so different this year? What are the Blue Jackets doing now that they weren't doing in previous years?
Oh, boy. I don't know really where to start. It's a question I've been asked many, many times. Let's just take a look at the beginning of the season. Jackets lost the first two games. People, again, started to wonder, is this going to be a repeat of last year? Will they go 0-8 as they did a season ago? And if you looked at the Blue Jackets' schedule to start the year, very, very difficult. Nine of the first 11 games were against the Western Conference, Jason. All nine games involving the West were playoff teams last spring. And people started to wonder, this team, would they even go further than 0-8 this season? But lo and behold, after the initial two games, and when they head out on the road, they go into Dallas, they shut out the Dallas Stars 3-0. They'd beaten the Chicago Blackhawks, and things just started to roll. Why are they now considered one of the elite teams in the National Hockey League so quickly turnover? If you remember to last year, a lot of the so-called hockey experts predicted the Blue Jackets not only to make the playoffs, but could challenge for the Eastern Conference Championship. In fact, a couple of the so-called experts even picked the Jackets to represent the East in the Stanley Cup Final. You can start in goal with Sergei Bobrovsky. He has been exceptional. As good as he was in that Vezina Trophy-winning season, I think he's even better this year. He's lost 17 pounds. Not that he needed to lose 17 pounds, don't get me wrong. He's changed his regimen. The Jackets have hired a performance coach. He has certainly had an effect on Sergei. The team is not only looking at their performance on the ice, but they're looking at their eating habits, they're looking at their sleeping habits, much discussed. Coach John Tortorella now doing away, for the most part, with morning skates. So everybody's getting their proper rest, and he'd rather have the team play when they get to the rink for the games, play their best hockey, and save it for the games itself. But on the blue line, question marks when the season started. But I'll tell you, Seth Jones has become a number one defenseman. A lot of people wondered about the trade the Jackets made when they dealt a number one center, Ryan Johansson, to Nashville for Seth Jones. He has stepped in, and along with Zach Werenski, another story in itself, they have formed the top defensive duo for the Blue Jackets, if you will. And then what it's done is it's taken some of the ice time away from Jack Johnson and David Savard. So their ice time has diminished, yet their play has certainly exceeded anything they've done before. In fact, Jack Johnson is a minus player in the 150 minus range in his NHL career. He's a plus 14 or a plus 15. He's played exceptionally well for the team. David Savard has had an outstanding season. And then you get to the third pair on the blue line with Nudavara, and he wasn't expected to make the team. He's a 22-year-old fan, but boy, I'll tell you what, they couldn't keep him off the team based on his preseason. And he forms that third pair with a guy that not too long ago, and I know people at Edmonton still wish that maybe it would have been Ryan Murray they selected instead of Nail Yakupov, but Murray has settled in on the third pair. He's playing the wrong side, if you will. He's playing the right side for left-handed shooting defenseman, but he has certainly improved his game here. And the big thing with Ryan Murray is he remains healthy. He played all 82 last year, a couple of minor injuries earlier on in the season. But the Jackets collectively on the blue line have done a great job. Up front, Nick Foligno, the captain, last year was his first year as captain. He struggled along with the team. He's turned his game around this year. He's on the top line on the right side. Brandon Saad, after at one point this season, potentially being a scratch, but due to an injury and an illness, he got in the lineup despite being told after the morning skate that he would not play in that game. His game has certainly been elevated. And a couple of other kids that were on that Calder Cup winning team, the Lake Erie Monsters last year, made the hockey team, notably Sedlak on the fourth line, riding a two-game goal-scoring streak. And Josh Anderson, an unheralded kid. I'll tell you what, for those that are going to the game tonight or watching it on television, keep an eye on Josh Anderson. He's big, and for a big man, he can really fly, and he has the ability to put the puck in the net. I guess I've gone a little bit too long with going through the entire hockey club.
Well, you know what? They made a lot of changes, and it's understandable. Now, you mentioned Ryan Murray and just staying healthy. Is he with the Nudavara? Are they the quasi third pair right now? Is that how it works, or is Murray just kind of like a Sam Gagner who plays there, you know, on paper, but obviously plays way more minutes?
Well, I wouldn't say he plays way more minutes, but he is on that third pair. He's starting to get some power play time here. So is Jack Johnson for the most part. But the top two guys on the blue line on the power play, because the Jackets go with four forwards, have been Zach Werenski and Seth Jones. But the ice time is being distributed well. And, you know, one thing that I did forget, and that is the coaching staff. They add Brian Shaw, or Bradshaw, excuse me, I'm in Edmonton thinking about the late Brian Shaw. They add Bradshaw, and he was 10 years with Ken Hitchcock. This guy's a future head coach in the National Hockey League. He's done a remarkable job with this young defense. He could have gone to any number of teams in the NHL, chose to come to Columbus because he wanted to work with his young club. John Tortorella has done an outstanding job in coaching. You look at the rest of the coaching staff, and again, everybody is contributing, and it's a team effort. There's no superstar on this hockey club, maybe with the exception of Bobrovsky, and a rising star in Zach Werenski.
Well, you know what? You mentioned Zach Werenski, and he's not only is he playing well, he's playing a lot of minutes. He's up against with Seth Jones. They're facing a lot of top quality competition, and this kid just hasn't looked rattled whatsoever, Jeff. John Tortorella told me today he's a little bit surprised at how much he's been able to handle, because you'd expect a little bit of a drop-off, but he said he hasn't seen any drop-off at all in his game, and that's pretty rare for a rookie defenseman.
Absolutely. I worked for 10 years, as you know, in Florida with one of the best defensemen in the history of hockey, Dennis Potvin, and as he has told me many, many times then and since, the toughest position to break into in the National Hockey League is as a defenseman. And this kid at 19 years of age, 19, last year in the Calder Cup playoffs, four rounds, he was the best player on the ice. Kenny Holland, longtime general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, told me during the World Cup, and then again here we played in Detroit on Friday night, that number one, he reminds him of Scott Niedermeyer, a young Scott Niedermeyer. And number two, he's got a chance to be a generational defenseman, one of the best. And he started rattling off names like Lidstrom, Pronger, Scott Niedermeyer. And he says this kid has the ability to be that good.
Wow. Hey, Niedermeyer. And that's an interesting comparison, because, you know, I watched Werenski's game, and, you know, it's tough to compare to Hall of Fame guys, but how he skates the puck, he's not a guy who's going to crush you physically, but he has very good positioning and a very good stick.
Very smart kid, grounded. He's the first guy up the ice. He's the last guy, or the first guy back. I'll tell you, head is always up. Watch him on the ice tonight. Head never goes down. He's always watching the ice. It'll be interesting to see the matchup that John Tortorella goes with against the McDavid line tonight. That's certainly something I'm going to keep an eye on. But Werenski and Seth Jones have certainly been a great tandem, and I look for them to continue for many, many years. Again, going into the season, there were question marks about the Jackets' blue line. No more.
We assume that it's going to be Brandon Dubinsky, as we're joined by Jeff Rimmer from Fox Sports in Columbus. Oilers taking on the Jackets tonight. You know, Dubinsky and Crosby have a huge rivalry, and they clearly don't like one another. McDavid, a lot of people think, is the next Crosby, and, you know, Dubinsky will play him hard, but there just isn't that animosity yet there. Like, Dubinsky and Crosby literally hate each other.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a rivalry, and one that I'm sure will continue. We haven't even played the Penguins yet this season. In fact, we played the majority of our games in the Western Conference. Some might say we're still a Western Conference team, but, of course, it wasn't too long ago we moved to the East. But, yeah, that's a great one. I marvel at Connor McDavid. I watched him when we came into the building here last year, one and only meeting with the Oilers here in Edmonton, and just watching him skate, watching him handle the puck, and watching how he played in the two games against the Blue Jackets. He is, in my opinion, if he's not as good as Crosby, he will certainly be that and more here as time goes on. He's a great player to watch, and it's great for the game to see so many good, young, outstanding players coming into the National Hockey League. And as John Tortorella said, he'd like to see more of the Blue Jackets farm system be given an opportunity to play here, because he wants them to push the veterans. And the Jackets certainly have done a pretty good job here over the last few years in drafting. Alexander Winberg, I haven't mentioned him. This is his third year. He's finally stepped up and played to the level as a first-round draft pick the Jackets expected. and he's having an outstanding season as well.
Well, and Nick Foligno's had a bounce back here. Brandon Saad's on fire. This Columbus team, no real weaknesses. They've got scoring down the lineup, production from their defense, and they don't give up any goals, as Bobrovsky's played 23 of 26 games, and he has an average less than 2 goals against per game. So, Jeff, a very different Columbus team than what we've seen in the past, and a team now that has to be reckoned with, a real good test for the Oilers tonight. We appreciate your time. We'll see you at the rink.
All right. Thanks for having me on.